Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to elders past and present and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today. Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
You can follow us on Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod or join our Facebook group at The Gays Are Revolting.
Access our weekly after show at patreon.com/gaysrevoltingpod and buy tickets to our Melbourne live show on July 19th.
How old are you, forward slash?
That's what it says.
It's like when my mother explains her email address and she's like, and then at, but not A-T. It's the like little the symbol.
The at.
At.
And we have your regular hosts. He works in a hair salon, but the only cuts he needs to worry about are the ones we're making on this show. It's Mikey.
Oh, you bitch.
I love it.
Now, I've got something to tell you.
What?
Now his life is as good as an ABBA song. It's as good as Dancing Queen. JK, it screams SOS.
You need to say my name as well if you're going to
read me. Tom! It's Tom! Sorry.
I was so confused.
You'd think he could afford better clothes with all the lunch money he's stolen over the years. It's Luke. And love me, it. Kyle. Hi, everybody. Oh, how are you?
Thanks, Kyle. That was mildly entertaining.
Happy birthday, everyone. It's our
50th
episode. And what a fun time it's
been.
One
year of free content.
I love it.
So subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah. Whatever the fuck Jay Fisher has to say about
it. Support it.
No, I've a whole fucking year. So just over a year ago, we all met, thanks to our amazing producer, Dan, who auditioned us and put us together.
Thank you.
What have you learned in the last year? Let's get Oprah.
Very little. Oh, God.
What have we learned in the last year?
What have you enjoyed? Your lowlights?
I think my favorite thing is, as lame as it sounds, is that I've made 3 best friends.
Aww.
It's been really lovely getting to know you guys.
Yeah. Has.
Like, and it's been really fun hanging out with you all and like
it is. It's so good.
No, it's cool.
I think it's really funny how scary this was in the beginning.
Scary. We were kind of all in it together, which is really exciting, like that same kind of level of fear, and then
absolutely, yeah.
I still remember meeting with our producer before we'd sort of been cast and just thinking like, what the huge imposter syndrome kicking in, like, I can't do this.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Are people going to tell I can't do this? Yeah. And now I've been doing it for a year and no one has called me out on it.
Yeah. I mean, I do it behind your back.
We hide those tweets.
I've written those few nasty reviews.
It's crazy.
It's pretty amazing. Mike, you're right. Like, hanging out with you guys is fucking amazing. We had a lovely night out on the weekend.
Oh boy, did we.
So much fun.
And we're still coming down from that.
My head.
There's been a few ventures that I have partaken in, you know, projects and that sort of thing that have all fizzled out. And to be quite honest, like, I definitely didn't think that this would go as well as it's gone.
Yeah.
I sort of thought, oh, this will be sort of a fun,
a fun thing to try.
You know, meet some new people.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, chat to a few people in the community, that sort of thing. But the reaction from people has just been absolutely unbelievable. And what I hadn't anticipated, which is the reason that, you know, I mean, we've not to blow our own horn or whatever, but we've put a lot of work into this. Like we've given up, you know, several hours a week, literally every week except for Christmas since we started. So it's been a lot of work from all of us. But the reason I keep doing it, I don't know about you guys, is the amazing messages that we've received.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Especially people
living
in rural areas that don't really have a physical community to hang out with. I remember, I think it was the first or second episode where we talked about douching properly.
Oh my God,
and we got a message. And it was one of the first messages that we got from somebody that was a listener saying, oh my God, I didn't know what to do. And thank you so much for telling me how to do this. I don't have gay friends to ask how to do this properly and stuff like that. And also our listeners around the world.
Yeah,
we have
our
producer Dan was showing me the numbers of where people, I didn't know you could know where people are listening.
I want to see that.
Hello to all our listeners in Germany.
We've got hello.
Yeah, I thought we'd be a bit vanilla for Germany, but apparently we're big in Germany.
No, it's been so amazing meeting so many people and being approached by people when you're out. I mean, we were out on Sunday night for the public holiday and at my absolute worst, like 5 a.m. waiting for an Uber. Someone's like, Kyle. I was like, hello. And I was like, cool. I was like, oh, thank you so much for your support. But I'm like, don't throw up, Kyle. Don't throw up. It's super nice.
It's really lovely.
I remember that first meeting with Dan, our producer, and he was like saying, I really want this to be a big thing, like live shows. I was like, live show, sure. I was like, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not even going to get picked. One live show down, another one coming.
It has been really lovely, and it's been so nice having the whole community behind us. But I think that what I would like to do, I'm sure you guys would agree, is thank our producer, Dan.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan.
Doesn't even want his name on this shit, even though he's the one that probably puts in more work than any of us.
He really
organizes
more work
us.
Than me.
He spends a lot of time organizing these four homosexuals right here.
We're not easy to wrangle, and he makes sure that we've got venues, that we're all there on time. Sits here and listens to us talk, because these recordings can go for several hours depending how much we've had to drink.
Let's
and then has the arduous task of editing the entire thing every single week and getting it up online. So big thank you to Dan.
Thank you. So last week, GQ hosted their Gentleman's Ball in Melbourne. Oh. What they do is they invite a lot of young, influential men and women from around Australia to come and have a fun night, I guess.
We had those.
Yeah, we have those here, apparently. And they also set up a panel of people to talk about their achievements and like the way they've gone about achieving their career goals, and also talking about how they can make the world a better place, which is amazing. I think the most publicized thing that came out of it was Hamish McDonald took his partner and got photographed on the red carpet, which previously he'd never come out, I guess.
Gay partner.
Yes, gay partner. So male partner. His name is Jacob Fitzroy. He's very, very handsome, and so is Hamish.
They're a very attractive couple.
Yeah, super attractive couple. So Hamish is one of the hosts of the project, and he's also an ABC broadcaster. So yeah, he had never really sort of outwardly spoken about his sexuality whatsoever, and I think him just rocking up with his partner and holding hands on the red carpet was such an amazing thing. Previously he'd not really come out in a public sense, but the way that he did come out was amazing, and like I think that's the way that public figures should be coming out now, is that they don't really have to have a big like, oh my god, look, I'm gay, or like a big
it's
post
not
online
exactly as if he was hiding it.
No,
like,
post that's
previous
it.
Pictures it, I really liked it as well, because it was just kind of like, oh, by the way, like this,
yeah,
is my partner.
This is my partner,
it's not something I felt the need to like make a big thing off, but like I guess you know now, whatever.
So Harold's is one of the supporter the fashion brand, and they set up what was called the Harold's Tunnel, and so it was like a stop motion video thing.
Harold's Tunnel.
It's like a stop motion video thing where like you just pose and whatnot. Cute. And him and his partner met in the middle and like had a cute little kiss and like fumbled out of the frame. And I was just like, that's so nice.
Yeah,
like,
it's
just
really
so lovely.
Cute.
And I think in society now, like we shouldn't have to have a big coming out thing. Like in the past, we've had a lot of...
Do you think celebrities should feel the need to come out? Do they owe anybody anything? Like, I don't... Because
well,
I feel...
What you mean by I think the problem is, at the moment, they have to. Because until people don't assume that you're straight until you say otherwise, it's essential at the moment, unfortunately. But what we should be hoping for is a future where we don't need to, where it's just sort of... Oh, you're a person, and at some point I'll work out what you're into, but that doesn't really matter. And you can just let me know when you want to let me know, kind of a thing. It shouldn't be so much of a, oh yeah, I'm straight until I come out, kind of a thing.
Like lying by omission.
But unfortunately, I think at the moment, no one's keeping their mind open until they do.
Like, I still publicly haven't come out until this show. But I'm hoping people can connect the dots.
I mean, I'm like fucking every man in Melbourne. What are you talking about?
I do think there's this like two-edged sword to things where, yeah. you know, I always stress the importance of visibility within our community. And I do see the benefit of people with large media platforms publicly making a statement saying things like, I'm okay with myself and this is the people that have been supportive and this is my journey, because it gives some visibility to other members of our community. And at the same time, I also think, oh, I kind of like this that no one really cares.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it works two ways. I think that's partly because I'm at an age where I don't need to look up to someone to kind of
absolutely
give me that motivation to be myself or to come out. So it's less important to me personally.
Yeah.
But I can still remember being a kid and you'd get on Google or as Yahoo back then and you type in like Chris Hemsworth gay. And you'd Google a
terribly Photoshop picture of someone.
Like, and you'd have to go and look and be like, I think this person's gay. Read message boards and be like, oh no, they are gay. And wait for like some public announcement. I'm going to sit on the fence, I guess, a little bit and go, I like when celebrities do publicly make statements because I think it's one of
very
the few,
helpful
and it's one of the few times where members of the straight media can't interject and make it their own narrative.
I mean, internationally though, you do see a lot of people being outed.
I
feel like the Australian entertainment industry is shit, generally speaking. You only have to look at the fact that the cast of Young Sheldon are the special guests at the Logies this year. That's just been
I can't wait, it's
fucking awful. That is. Did you see when Joan Rivers hosted the Logies and she was like, I don't know
why the fuck.
Joan Rivers, they once paid a fortune for Joan Rivers to come over and host the Australian Logie for TV Awards. She literally got on stage and said, I don't know why the fuck I'm here. I don't know who any of the fuck you people are. I'm just here for the business flight and the free booze and that sort of stuff.
Love it.
And so generally speaking, the Australian entertainment industry is shit. But I will say they are very good at not outing people that are known. So apparently Hamish's sexuality was a known secret within the industry and everyone was very aware of it. But there was, you know, no one was going out and doing these stories to sort of out him. And if you look at notable LGBTI celebrities currently working in Australia, Peter Hitchener, Josh Thomas, Mal Buttle, Magda Szubanski especially. I remember when I first started going out to clubs, Magda Szubanski would be at the fucking market, like making out with girls all the time. And like through the whole Kath and Kim, when she was at her most famous and Babe and that sort of stuff. And it was well known within the industry that she was a lesbian, but no one really said anything until she chose to come out. Same as Hamish and Josh and Mel and those sorts of people. I think that's something that should be acknowledged, is that Australia is a lot better at not doing that than other countries seem to be.
Yeah, not digging through people's...
Yeah, and making money by outing them, you know.
I kind of did get the feel that maybe they knew about it on the project, because there I saw this part...
How can you not when you work with
people? Yeah, no. Yeah. But I mean, like, there was a comment made when I think Bianca Del Rio was guesting on the project, and someone made some comment about being a spiritual bottom, and the guy sitting next to Bianca Del Rio said, the only spiritual bottom we have here is Hamish. And then he kind of just gives this look of, like, gay fear, like, when someone asks you to throw the ball back, and
like,
you're like,
no, like,
but I was like, oh, yeah.
I still remember when I was younger, and just so I can get in my like obligatory JB mention, is when we were in Adelaide, JB, he'll tell this story. It's like a point of pride for him, is like he would tell you, I am one of the first people that thought Anthony Kalia from like season two of Australian Idol.
That was another industry secret.
Was a homosexual. Uh-huh. And he was saying it to everyone in high school. He's like, I just know, like, it wasn't in a malicious way. He was just like, this guy's gay. And Tom's right, like, he was never pushed out of the closet. Mm. He sang some very camp, obviously gay songs on Australian Idol. Like, it was not, I think, a secret to anybody.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of on his own terms that he got to come out.
Yeah.
Maybe like 5-10 years after the
show. Yeah, exactly right.
And JB was so pumped.
Because he was right.
He was right.
Yeah. Can I make a side note about Anthony? I know you guys have read me a lot for dropping names and that sort of shit. But Anthony Clear gets a bad rap from the LGBTI community. And him and his partner. Well, they're just, I don't know. It seems like cool to bag him out sometimes.
Okay.
Him and his partner are two of the loveliest fucking Tim Campbell and Anthony Clear. Two of the loveliest fucking
people. So is he famous from Idol?
Yeah. But like still tours and does very well touring as
Great.
And has done musicals and good that sort of thing as well. But they get made fun of and they don't deserve it. They're very good people. Do you think though, and so here's another thing, and I've been told off for having this opinion before, and I'm happy if you guys disagree with me, but do you think if someone has come to terms with their sexuality and is totally comfortable with it, but is making more money by not coming out. Is there a problem with that? Now, I reference this specific case, which I've been told off for having this opinion before, and sorry if I'm wrong.
Right.
But Ian Thorpe, it's sort of theorized that was very comfortable for a very long time with his sexuality, but made more sponsorship money from being straight than he would have made from being gay.
It's sort of one of those things where it's like, when he did have his career, like being an outwardly gay Australian person in the public wasn't super supported.
No.
Whereas like now, I feel like it'd be a different story.
But we're also talking about a very long time. So I totally agree. When he first was very famous, like 17 when he was when he first shot to fame as a swimmer. Like obviously at that point, you know, he probably didn't even know at that point. But then the story goes that apparently he was out and very comfortable with outside of the media for many, many years, and then apparently part of the decision making, there are stories that, and there's obviously not confirmed or whatever, that part of his decision for not coming out until he did was to do with money. And I'm not saying that that is what happened, but if that's what happened, then I think
fuck it, I'm for it. like we've been oppressed long enough, use them, get the money.
Okay,
I think it's really, really tricky because part of me does honestly believe your sexuality and what you do with it is completely
up for you.
Up to you. I do know at that point in time, to have an openly out gay athlete in this country would have been huge. But I don't think we can force these these kind of responsibilities and push someone up to being basically a martyr or a representative of our community if they don't want to be so.
Sure. Well, then put it this way, and maybe taking Ian Thorpe specifically out of mind, but if someone was to sort of repress their sexuality, even though they've personally come to terms with it, but for financial reasons repress it, once they come out, is it fair to then be putting them on Pride, like leading Mardi Gras, or putting them on the cover of gay magazines straight away if it's... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're getting their coin.
Well, you've got to support that. That's what I'm saying. Only in the case where they've already been getting their coin from not making it public.
Because they could be getting their coin to become more famous to...
Yeah.
I know, getting their coin to become more famous to do better things with their fame. So it's elevating them into a spot where they can do more good for the world.
Yeah, it comes down to intention at the end of the day.
I mean, if you're not maliciously hurting anyone for not revealing your own sexuality, which I don't see how.
I think the controversy here, or like the sticking point, is if someone purposefully had no problem with getting coin and staying in the closet and then coming out, but then being represented as a martyr or someone who was really hard done by. That is a different thing. If I'm all about transparency, that's why I talk about douching on this show and stuff. I would be totally fine if Ian Thorpe came out and did those, you know, interviews into nudes. Did those interviews and said, look, it was a business decision. I needed to make money. I got money and now I'm good.
Maybe the timing wouldn't have been right if he came out then. Like, who's to say everyone was ready for a gay athlete at the time? It might not have blown up as big. Like, it might have been the end of his career. So
true.
Speaking of coming out stories, did y'all see the picture I sent to you about JVN coming out as non-binary?
This was
to JVN from Queer Eye, Jonathan Van Ness. For coming out as non-binary and being a representative.
Fantastic. There needs to be more representation.
And being a representative on major television, on Netflix for that. But in his coming out statement, he used the example of, I want to inspire young people that they can also be brand ambassadors for Essence and these super cool brands.
So he basically turned his coming out into a paid post.
I know he was promoting, I think, that brand in that interview.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In any case.
Oh, and I just saw the bit like, about, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and it sort of roundabout ended up being a official coming out statement. But I thought the collision of those two worlds was just like peak branding.
But I mean, how fucking exciting that a non-binary person these days can also be the brand, the spokesperson, I guess, is the other way of looking at it, is that, you know, a company's happy to put their money towards somebody that is non-binary or gay or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Koala did with us.
Pretty exciting. Like Koala did with us.
And no longer.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The other thing to take from this is that, like, we can sit here now and list all of these names off the top of our head, like JVN and Actor and Josh and all these sorts of people that have come out. There's so much representation now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you were sort of talking about, like, when we were kids, Luke, and I've mentioned before, like, I remember being a kid and seeing Mr. Humphreys on Are You Being Served and being like, oh, thank God there's, like, something that I can vaguely connect to on television. Such a rare thing. Only nearly 30 years ago, I mean, there was lists at the end of 2018 of like, here's all the celebrities that came out in 2018.
Yeah. There's always lists.
BuzzFeed's top 100 celebrities that came out in 2018.
Who came out best?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't realize until I was reading for this episode, Abby Jacobson from
Broad City.
Broad City. Yeah. And again, for her, it wasn't even. And this is the exciting thing. It doesn't need to be a big deal now. Like, it was amazing for Hamish to do it the way he did it.
Yeah.
But Abby just decided in an interview to say, oh, yeah, I kind of go both ways. I date men and women.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sort of like JV.
I mean, but like Hamish wasn't even like a big deal.
No,
like,
sorry,
yeah, it wasn't like Ellen Page giving that beautiful speech.
And no,
yeah. Saying that she.
Yeah,
was gay.
The amazing thing is, you know, you've got all these people coming out now, how they want to do it.
Yeah.
I support both sides. Like, I think an amazing speech and just dropping that you're gay in it, and like, that's amazing, beautiful.
Yeah.
And
then
at the same time, having a really casual, like, oh, I guess, you know, now is also fantastic as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do it how you want to.
I definitely feel like we're very lucky that we did have some very big celebrity names in like the early 90s and like the early 2000s that did come out, like Rosie O'Donnell and like
Ricky Martin,
Ellen DeGeneres.
And...
Oh, he adopted babies with his partner. And
like a female partner?
No,
because I know he's but like partner. When did he like come out? Was it
a fish?
I'm not a fish. I'm not a Ricky Martin aficionado, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. Sorry.
It was a few years ago, and I think it was more of a like confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, wasn't he having a thing with Ian Thorpe?
Oh. It was rumors, but I don't think it was ever confirmed.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it would be hard. You know, I'd be so into it.
I don't think anything will ever beat the OG. Ellen DeGeneres.
For
doing like a story.
Say what you will about it now, but fuck yeah, that was a good coming in. Yeah.
To me, JVN could take notes on this. This was brand sort of management. Yeah. She had a plot line in a TV show. Mm-hmm. She had Laura Dern as the guest. Mm-hmm. So you're getting some talent in there.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of, this sounds so yuppie-ish, but cross-promotional, but in a way that people accepted. I remember my mum, the most Catholic set in her ways, traditional Filipino woman just being like, oh, well, I like this show and they've taken it in this direction, so I guess I'm okay now. And being young at that time thought, well, as long as I'm doing something my mum enjoys when I come out, I'm all good.
You raised a really good point, actually, is we've talked about what representation does for our community, but what it does to influence people not in our community that have preconceptions of what the LGBTI community are. I've recently, and none of you three are going to know what this is, but I know that there's a lot of listeners.
I don't know what a lot of things you talk about.
Do you know the TV show Prisoner? The Australian television show Prisoner?
Yes.
Yeah. Orange is the New Black is a rip-off of a television show from Australia in the 70s and 80s called Prisoner, which was remade recently on Foxtel called Wentworth. Mm-hmm. But it was very good writing originally. It turned into a bit of a soap, but about a women's prison. Mm-hmm. It had all of the firsts for Australian television. Yeah. So like the first lesbians to be shown on television, like all this different stuff that happened was firsts on that show. And I think it was definitely the first lesbian kiss.
What first else prison on television, actually.
But it was widely followed by, it was like the highest rating show of its time.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I always remember Dad always talks about, because I stayed up studying till midnight, I'd let myself watch an episode of Prisoner. Oh. Dad always laughed because he said, because his mum, who was very, very, very Catholic, very conservative, very anti-gay and stuff, but loved this show.
Really?
And it sort of brought lesbianism into the households
like
of
some
1970s
form,
and 80s and made people actually start acknowledging that these people existed in Australia.
Wow.
That sort of stuff. Wow. So, this sort of representation in the media, as well as much as it's fantastic for our community and for young people in our community, does a lot to also educate people outside it.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So So, we are in Pride Month now. Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
I've seen lots of rainbows appearing on adverts everywhere, like just constantly.
Which is
like
funny
people,
it's an American thing, really.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's like changing their logos rainbows, and stuff.
Yeah.
Why not?
I follow this like video gaming news thing called IGN. They changed their logo to a rainbow.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's so great. Thanks for your support. Thanks. And click on the comments, ruined my day.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
It was horrible. People just commenting like, nope, unfollow. This is disgusting, blah, blah, blah. So many comments about fucking straight pride and we need straight pride. God. And I really feel like this year, for some reason, it's really blown up.
It's taken off.
Straight pride thing and why people feel so entitled to it. It's like, it really needs to be explained to these straight people that why we don't need it. I mean, there's a group of men in Boston who call themselves the Super Happy Fun America.
It's that pretentious kind of like, it's like, I'm like a cool dude.
And so this group of people, they're reportedly organizing a straight pride parade in Boston for what they describe as the oppressed majority.
Which is that whole Trump
And you forget because you like live in this little bubble and you think it's all fine, and then you like see comments from like Americans. I mean, even today we posted that photo about having a year off recording.
We
had like all these weird hate comments popping up. It's because we're using all the pride hashtags.
Obviously, those were my burner.
But it's true though.
This Boston group, they want to add the S to the acronym, the LGBT plus for straight. One of their mottos is, we want tolerance, and we want tolerance for everybody, not just the LGBTI community. Yeah. It's like such bullshit. It's so infuriating.
One of the other ones were like, we're here, but we're not queer.
Oh
like,
God.
Shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut
they incorporated the tagline, it's great to be straight.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like the idea of just letting them do it.
Yeah,
like,
I want to see what happens.
You try and fucking organize a pride parade without the lesbians to A, build the floats, and then the gays to decorate them and do the choreography to go around them. Like, good fucking luck doing it. It reminded me of that. Have you seen that clip from Fast Forward in the 90s, Gina Riley?
I've only recently been shown.
No, I posted it in the group. I don't know if you saw it.
No, but I've recently seen
this is amazing that show. Comedy clip. And it's, Gina, like the Kath and Kim girls on Fast Forward doing the Melbourne Straight Pride as a protest to the Sydney Mardi Gras. And it's just like this most pathetic, awful.
And this is from, this was like filmed in the 80s or something.
This is the 90s. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, like, what the fuck is a straight pride festival going
like,
to be?
Like, shut the fuck up.
Like, I can imagine they're having like their underwear party, but they're all in like saggy old white fronts and like Bond singlets. And
the face of the group or something, they were using Brad Pitt. And then they had to like take it down.
His legal team was just like, he's like, no. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they were careful to call him their mascot instead of like their representative or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And he like threatened legal action.
Yeah. Thank
you,
Brad.
They've now replaced him with Milo Yiannopoulos.
Who's that?
Milo he's the worst. So he's gay, but he's like, extreme right, very anti-trans rights. Yeah, he's basically just trying to make money off.
Didn't he get banned from coming here?
He did.
He got to the government, shut him down from coming here.
Yeah, because he was setting up shows talking about something with racism. I don't know. Yeah. I can't really quite remember.
Like the suffering white majority.
White majority. And they had protests, like huge protests out the front of the venues that he was performing at. He didn't even go on stage because the place was like, no, we can't do this. Yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding? There's a riot outside.
Yeah. But then, he tried to come back again after the last visit and they blocked him from
I think they
back
blocked
again.
His visa.
Have you seen?
But he's also been shut. I think Twitter have banned him and all this sort of stuff. Also, it's just come out, The Guardian did a big expose and worked out that he's actually like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt as well. Because he's like this, his whole thing is like this rich elite, but he's actually not really.
So he's not gay for pay.
No. But now, I feel like any festival that's having him as their ambassador is
not great.
You can't beat around the bush with this. Like, these are glorified Make America Great Again parades.
Absolutely.
Like, I read a lot of comments because I'm a masochist from racist white American people. And these are the same accounts.
Yeah.
These are, you know, it's like Scooby-Doo when they take the mask off.
Yes.
And it's a bunch of straight bros going, no, we just want straight pride. Mm. And you pull their faces off and surprise, they're actually just racist.
And the scary thing is it actually means that they've learned nothing for all of the
absolutely
stuff.
Absolutely nothing from all the stuff.
For the last 100 years, everything that we've been trying to do, they've not actually learned learned anything from it. Right. Because what they're seeing is, oh, you get a parade, I want a parade. And what they're not acknowledging is, oh, you can't hold hands in the street. You could until recently get fired from your job and still can. You can get killed in some countries. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not realizing that we struggle to have a doctor.
Yeah, be thankful you don't need
a exactly.
That's
exactly
the fundamental thing they're missing. And a drag queen actually posted on Twitter, which was really insightful to me, was just a little post saying people don't realize that these pride parades and things like Mardi Gras are born out of political protest.
Yes.
Pride hasn't always been pride.
Yeah.
It's literally been the voice of dissent and us demanding rights. The reason why we have pride is because we've got some of them.
Yeah.
And it's sort of transformed over time into a celebration of what we've had to fight for.
Yeah. I think also we're very good at turning negatives into positives.
Mm-hmm.
Like
sure.
We've been faced with hundreds of years of oppression and being treated like shit that we're like, fuck this, we're going to make this not like a fucking funeral parade down the street. Yeah. We're going to make this a fucking celebration.
The most colourful goddamn.
Exactly, yeah.
I'd like a big funeral parade.
I think of you as a big funeral.
That's it.
I'd like to attend your big funeral parade, to be honest. But yeah.
But you know, that's the key point here is like, if you want a month of pride, have your rights taken away.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
Protest for them for 100 years.
Yeah, campaign for marriage equality.
Campaign for it. And when you get it, you can have your parade.
So they have 365 days of like fucking privilege and then they want one day to celebrate all 365. 65 days of.
They don't have Eurovision.
That's true. Yeah, yes.
4 days.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
And we are slowly taking over Christmas, apparently, as well. Yeah,
they've lost
according
that.
According to the last Christmas. Yeah.
They're down to like 350 days.
Yeah. Over rainbows.
What a shame. We must set up a parade. Let's do it.
We stole rainbows from God. That's remember.
Yeah, we definitely stole rainbows from God.
Have you guys seen.
There's so many great memes about it.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the perceived straight brands clapping back at people on Twitter?
No.
Like Axe body spray.
Oh, really? God. Is it like Crocs?
Yeah, things like Crocs. Axe body spray was a big one. Basically clapping back at people because they did a pride post.
Yeah.
And these
did
same...
Like they did a real one.
They did a real one and these same shitheads were in there being like, well, I'm not going to buy Axe anymore for my son since you're all homosexuals.
Mm.
And Axe was clapping back and being like, well, it's human rights, Dorothy, like get fucked.
Get it together.
Yeah. Also, no gay person wears Axe.
Yeah, and I just love that to me is straight pride. We can't forget our straight allies. We've all got our JBs, we've got our Axe body sprays. You know, those people don't give a fuck about a parade or not having
that's
one.
That's it.
Because that's what it truly means to be a straight ally.
Those people will come and join our parade and support us in our parade.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they know it'll be way more fun.
Yeah.
So we touched on it in our after show the other week, which was the Free Britney movement.
Yes.
Featured on a drag queen's underwear in the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about it because I love things that are really confusing and things that involve some element of conspiracy. And this is like literally pictures on a pinboard with the string attached to it, you know. And for anyone listening that hasn't followed, I'll just do a really brief timeline because I prepared.
Please, because I'm not very across.
Okay, get your draw pins and your strings ready, everyone, with your map.
I think everyone remembers the Leave Britney Alone 2007 shave head attack with an umbrella.
Yeah,
Britney. Iconic.
It was an amazing time for pop culture, but it was around that time, actually a year later in 2008, that she was placed into a legal conservator. I don't know how to say it.
I know, I kept saying it like conservatorship.
Conservatorship, which basically means legally a guardian or, you know, an appointed person. It could be a lawyer, manages someone's daily affairs, their financial sort of affairs as well. And she was placed into that under the guise of this person is mentally unwell.
Yeah,
and can't make decisions. That's a legal thing.
It's kind of like a findom. Like
you can do that too. Right.
Don't you think?
Call back. That all went down in 2008. And it's been going on throughout her career since then.
Yeah.
People have sort of posted about a fan site. I also love stories that involve fan sites because it brings me back to my GeoCity days.
GeoCities.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. So a fan site called Breathe Heavy, which is a Britney Spears fan site, actually started this Free Britney campaign back in 2009 once they caught wind of the conservatorship. Because it just doesn't seem like something that should
be happening.
Yeah.
I like one of the biggest celebrities in the world.
So is the conservatorship definitely real?
Yeah.
Okay, because I when I was reading up and watching videos about it, I wasn't sure if that was like a theory or if like that definitely was real. Yeah, okay,
Amanda Bynes is on one as well.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hers is still active at the moment. Yeah. Oh.
There's like a few out there.
Yeah.
And I always find them so fascinating in pop culture because, I don't know, something just draws you to it, you know.
Well, Britney Spears' one is the longest
running
conservatorship ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hectic.
It's been on the down low, especially the Free Britney movement, until very recently. So start of this year, when she made a sort of random Instagram post stating that she was going to cancel her upcoming Las Vegas residency, which I'm so confused. I don't know if that is now the point where you're successful or unsuccessful.
Oh, if you get a residency.
Because like Lady Gaga's got one.
Celine Dion had one, right?
It's fucking huge money, so.
Yeah. So
probably just like comfortable. Like, it's like, yeah, that's fine.
And fans sort of caught on that something was strange about that announcement. She then went on a social media hiatus where she's typically very active on there. Lots of Instagram stories of her trying on outfits.
Lots of like yoga stuff, like fitness things.
Painting and as well. I think I've seen some
that painting. Was iconic.
And her hot as fuck boyfriend.
Yeah.
Until April. So that's January to April with basically nothing on her social media. When a random meme post, the one you see on catfish pages all the time, which was like live, laugh, love or whatever, came up saying she was taking a mental health break.
Yeah.
It was announced that same day that she was checking herself into a mental health facility, which the feedback, I was following it at the time. I don't know if you guys were, but the feedback was pretty positive. People were like,
take care of yourself.
Yeah. That's what you got to do. But the story gets weirder and it gets more complicated because it was slightly after that on April 16th. I feel like
that's
we're on an episode of Serial and I really like it. April 16th, a Britney podcast. So I didn't know there were Britney podcasts. But one called Britney's Gram, which just discusses Britney's
Gram or Gran?
Gram.
I was like, can't be a very interesting podcast.
What she had for breakfast today. They leaked a voicemail that was left for them by a paralegal who had worked with the lawyers sort of involved with her word that I can't pronounce.
Conservatorship.
And basically letting them know that this check-in was not voluntary and that there were potentially some shady things going on with the thing that I can't pronounce.
Conservatorship.
The conservatorship was supposed to end in 2014, but then continued on like a less strict basis, but
correct,
and
then her dad is like super
and who
like
was
controlling.
The conservator in the conservatorship,
her dad. It's her dad and as well as like I think some lawyers and stuff, and then he was like someone that was involved and then he left, and then he left the voicemail for this podcast.
Now that podcast has been listened to nearly 80,000 times. Whoa. That episode,
we need some of that.
We have some work to do.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to leave us some juicy voice,
Tom's gonna go on a conservatorship.
Please, I need someone to look after my life.
Someone needs to make those decisions.
So they did some digging into this voicemail. The sources checked out. It was someone involved legally with Britney Spears. And they also discovered that she had actually been checked in since January. Involuntarily.
Yep.
Which meant someone else was catfishing and posting on her account.
Right, yeah.
Which then led people to think half of these posts, is she being forced to post them?
Yeah.
I saw some theories that like even the paparazzi moments that were snapped by her were actually staged. You can see the company that took them is one you hire out to take photos.
Damn.
So these kind of like Britney goes and gets a hot dog things were actually organized by the conservatorship. Conservatorship.
Yeah.
This culminated on April 23rd with an actual protest. So a lot of gay people made some very fabulous signs.
All yelling, leave Britney alone.
And protested her lack of freedoms legally. The weird thing was she made a statement around the same time as well, but people don't know if it's actually her.
I heard that because she was refusing to go on to her new meds. And then supposedly her father said, if you don't take your meds, you're going to have to cancel the whole show.
There are some details about her medication too, of her coming off it or not taking
her not
it.
Wanting to take it.
And now the final update, other than some weird story that happened today where she's talking about tabloids photoshopping her photos and making her seem larger. That happened like a few hours before.
Oh, really?
Right. Oh, weird.
Was it on May 10th? There was a court hearing that she attended.
Yes, a private court hearing.
Private court hearing. People noticed she wasn't wearing shoes, which apparently means you're some level of crazy in the journalistic world.
Give her a break. She had a full head of hair.
but the court hearing was actually contesting the conservatorship.
Yeah.
Conservatorship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I don't believe she actually won.
Mm-hmm. No.
So the thing is, it's very real. It's still ongoing. And it looks like she is 100% against it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the really fascinating things about this is the like obsession we had with her downfall. Do you guys remember
that horrible.
It was plastered over
there was stuff like death countdown betting pools around that time being like she's gonna die in the next week. And same thing happened with Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
Was like a celebrity pylon of watching someone spiral
fall apart. Yeah,
I was so happy to see her like rebuild and actually like, because normally if something like that on that scale happens to somebody, that's it, that's over. Like that's the like fully end of like their career. But she really did build it back up, but now we don't know if it's even real.
Yeah, like, I wonder about that though. Is that the only reason why she rebuilt that is because she was medicated?
Yeah.
Like, was that her actual choice, or is she so doped out that these people in charge of her father are forcing her to do these things?
So scary.
And she's obviously realized in like the past year and been like, I don't want to fucking be on this medication anymore. Yeah. Fuck you guys. Like, I want out of this. And like, she's even said like small statements saying like, I don't feel like I live my life. I feel like
I'm like it's Groundhog Day every day. There's no
this
passion.
Never ending. Like, I just want this to be over.
And if that's true, then the sad thing is really the only way that she's ever going to find happiness is by not creating stuff. And like, she probably doesn't want to. If she can only perform when she's been doped up and told what to do, then that means she probably doesn't actually want to be doing this shit anymore.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a catch 22, because then the fans that want her to be free are not going to get
what they want from her.
Able to live the life that she actually wants to live, which is quite sad.
I think she honestly just wants to raise her kids.
Yeah, because I think the big thing was her dad threatening to take away her kids from her.
I will stand by the fact that at peak, quote unquote, crazy Britney, she did release Blackout.
Yeah.
Which is like one of the most incredible albums of all time.
Real good.
I love it purely from the standpoint of if you listen to it, it's like Britney didn't even need to be there. You know, Danger and Timbaland had to do so much work to get the vocals out and auto-tune them. That it's almost creepy. Like, I know it's meant to be banger after banger, but a lot of the tracks are kind of like, something's off about this. And I think it stands up as like an incredible pop record.
Yeah. Britney was a huge, huge thing in my household, because my brother Ty is like number one fangirl, like obsessed with her. So probably made me gay if it wasn't all the other factors.
Oh, that poster of her in Baby Hit Me One More Time in the schoolgirl. I think that was like the code. I want to appear straight to my family. But I also want to
worship Britney. The straight boys were like, oh yeah, that's fucking hot. And the gay boys were like, oh yeah, I want to wear that costume.
I will wear that costume. And then they did.
I'm going to learn the dance moves to that.
That poster, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
And maybe Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. I do love like a celebrity theory. Have you ever seen the Avril Lavigne?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The like thing that she's a clone or something?
Yeah. She's been I mean, this one's a bit more far-fetched.
I know.
But it is like,
it's funny though.
Heavily followed.
Yeah.
She's been replaced by a clone.
People get
named
very
Melissa.
Into
is that
it.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
There's also the theory that Katy Perry is actually a grown-up JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've heard about this as well. Yeah.
That's a very popular
amazing
theory
yeah.
as well. But it is sad. And just to bring it down.
Have you guys seen the latest episode of Black Mirror, the one with Miley Cyrus?
Not yet.
Oh, has it come out? It's all out.
No,
everyone keeps talking about it at work.
I haven't seen it yet. No.
Apparently it's
I've been too busy rewatching.
No spoilers.
Yeah. Well, for those of you that haven't watched it, click off for a second. So, in the episode, it's pretty much a very similar situation to Britney Spears, whereas this girl has had her parents die and her aunt is her guardian and has made her into this giant superstar. But like
a dance
on stage,
mom.
She's just like this fun poppy person, and then as soon as she's off stage, she's depressed as hell.
Yeah.
She's on all this medication. Her aunt's the one that's posting everything online.
Shit.
Yeah.
And then like she eventually stops taking her medication.
I wonder if this is like literally taking inspiration
from.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. And it was like stops taking her medication and hides it all, and then all of a sudden has this big outburst. And what they end up doing is drugging her and putting her into an induced coma. And they take her voice because they've made this little robot.
Oh fuck.
And it's supposed to be like Ashley too. And what they've they've actually done is taken her entire personality and just put it into this AI robot.
Oh, that's so creepy.
They put this robot out. She's put in a coma, and then all of a sudden, all the robots get recalled and like destroyed. But this one robot is like kept by this girl, and they eventually figure out because it starts like spazzing out. And they plug it into a computer, and they're just like, "What the fuck is going on?" Click on this file, and her entire personality bursts out.
Consciousness.
Yeah, and then they have to go and save her. Yeah. And like, I was like, "Oh my god, is this story? Is that what they're gonna do to her? They're gonna put her in a coma and like record an entire album without her?" Like, yeah,
I think they actually did that for Blackout. I'm pretty certain they recorded that. Without her.
I love that our podcast has now turned into like
a Britney conspiracy theory
podcast.
Are we Shane Dawson now?
Oh my gosh.
The other interesting thing I think is, have you guys followed the career of Chris Crocker?
Oh, is that really porn or something?
He's now a porn star.
Like
adult,
a full-on
in the adult industry.
Oh, because he had like a glow-up.
He had a glow-up, I'd say so. It wasn't hard to glow up from crying under a bed.
Like the Blair Witch Project style, like fucking snot crying.
But that's a true gay success story.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure. Like, that's the kind of true-to-life gay story that I could see happen to any young gay man.
We need to praise Britney. She's given so many careers to so many people, like Derek Barry.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Also, I'm concerned about Derek Barry's career.
What is she going to do?
He might actually be the replacement.
Well, I mean, they do work in Vegas, so.
Oh, true.
Well, I do think Derek Barry came into his own after the show, and I recommend anyone.
One died at Stonewall.
Anyone who's interested to look up Derek Barry at the Haters Roast last year.
Okay, it just comes across really dumb.
Well, it's an incredible
train
wreck.
We should talk about this. We have like Room Girls. We're planning.
It's a train wreck of a performance where someone had plied her with so much alcohol.
I think I saw something about
this. She got up on stage to do her roast, but couldn't remember any of the jokes.
Oh, no.
And so stitched 5 different jokes into one running sentence.
That's why I'm not drinking tonight.
Her boyfriend had to get on stage to pull her off because she also went overtime and refused to leave.
Jesus.
But it endeared me. Cringe. I didn't like her on
I'm
season.
I'm so Googling this. And after the show, as well as listening to Blackout.
I say look it up. When you see it, you go, I know that girl.
We should post it in the group.
That's a girl with
like,
karaoke.
Like, real good content.
So it's almost fortuitous, I guess, that it's our
great word.
That it's our 50th episode, and it's the 50-year anniversary of Stonewall, which we have touched on a little bit before when we had our Mardi Gras episode. I want to talk about it a bit more in detail, about what happened at Stonewall and sort of the heroes that came out of there, the ones that we know about and the ones that we don't know that well about, and sort of the effects that it's still having for us today, 50 years later, and the great privileges that we have now as a bit of success.
Shut up, Tom.
That.
Save it for the
so we're going to do that. We're going to do that on the after show. If you want to have a listen to that and our last couple of after show episodes, you can sign up at patreon.com/gagerevoltingpod.
Patronus.
And that is our episode.
It is our episode. Nice to see y'all.
Got some good conspiracy theories in.
Yes. And we've all been here.
None of us will be here next week, unfortunately. We're having 2 weeks
to get
off.
Fucked.
It's only our second break in a whole year, so we're just going to have 2 weeks off of the regular episodes. Mm-hmm. We will be releasing the Patreon episodes on the 2 weeks off, so there will still be a little after episode, even though it won't be after an episode.
No.
It'll be
just so an extra.
Sign up and listen to that.
Yeah.
I'll be sipping Mai Tais by a pool in Bali. That's not true at all.
But
I'll be drinking cheap red wine on my couch at home.
Oh.
But if you're not a Patreon subscriber, we'll see you in a few weeks. But yeah, you can stay in touch with us on the socials.
And don't forget our upcoming live show, July 19th, here in Melbourne. Buy your tickets if you haven't yet, because it's sold out last time.
Yeah.
And we've been getting a lot of great reviews on Apple Podcasts, which we love to hear, so keep sending those.
Yes,
really heartwarming. Love it.
Well, I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks' time, everyone.
Unless you're listening to the Patreon.
That's it.
Bye!
Bye!
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.